Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today it's me, your boy Jay King from MassLive.com, coming to you with Sam Damn Packard, the great, back from vacation. It is nice to have you back, Sam.
It's good to be back. I mean, I just went to my 5-year college reunion, spent a week up in beautiful Maine, and found out that I'm super, super washed up and cannot party like I used to in college. But it was I'm still recovering. You can hear that in my voice, but it's good to be back. I got so many Celtics hot takes, and I'm excited to share them with the Raining Jays listener.
Beautiful. So today, Markelle Fultz worked out for the Boston Celtics. We're recording this Tuesday night. We will discuss the tour that he went on with ESPN through the TD Garden, where he posed for pictures near the likeness of Larry Bird and the old Big Three. He posed for pictures in front of the banners. He apparently said that he feels kind of right in the TD Garden. And, yeah, so some interesting stuff from that. And then we've got some questions from the readers. We've got a nice little mailbag episode. We're going to get to some the listeners, rather. We're going to get to some of those questions, which deal with the off season and some questions up and down the roster. Let's start with Markelle Fultz, who obviously is the projected number one pick. Met with the Celtics Monday, stayed Tuesday for a workout. Seems like everything went pretty well. He said all positive things. The team has said all positive things. Obviously, we don't know exactly what happened. But the most interesting part, I thought, was Markelle Fultz going on a tour of TD Garden with ESPN accompanying him and taking pictures that will look hysterical if the Celtics go in another direction.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, and you're going to have to let me know because I don't remember the Celtics doing this with any other kind of guys they brought in for workouts, but it really seems like they're announcing right now, I mean, not entirely, but it seems kind of weird if you don't intend to take this guy, number one, to let kind of ESPN cameras go in and give the tour and have those kind of those photos that Chris Forsberg tweeted out. It just doesn't seem like that's something you do if you're not planning on taking this guy number one. It just seems like a way to build up a bunch of hype with the fans. And I just don't think that it would make any sense for the Celtics to do that and then kind of disappoint everyone by not taking him. So I don't know how any other way to read this other than it seems like the Celtics are leaning pretty heavily towards Paul.
So the Celtics claim not to have anything to do with this. And they don't own the TD Garden. So it might have been Fultz's people setting something up with ESPN and doing something like that. Either way, it's the move of a prospect who thinks he's going to land in Boston. And whether the Celtics think the same way, whether it will ultimately happen, the Celtics still have more than 2 weeks to evaluate prospects, and they vow that they will look at everybody from whoever they can, with the exception, obviously, of Lonzo Ball, who has decided not to work out for the Celtics, at least as of now. But it's obvious. Like, you don't stand there and take pictures in front of the banners. You don't stand there outside the Celtics locker room taking pictures. You don't stand there in the same photo with the likeness of Larry Bird and the Big Three on the wall if you don't think you are going to be the number one pick. And so it seems clear, and maybe it's not even Markelle Fultz setting this up. Maybe it's just someone in his camp. Again, maybe it's ESPN pushing this. Maybe whatever. There are a lot of reasons that this could have happened without him knowing he's the number one pick. But he seems pretty comfortable in his belief that the Celtics will probably take him, because otherwise, as you said, like, those photos are going to look extremely hilarious, like the Kobe Bryant draft workout photos that resurfaced again a few years ago.
Yeah, I just saw a picture someone was tweeting out of Steph Curry in some Knicks gear, and it made me laugh a lot. Fultz, didn't he also cancel all his other workouts with other teams? So he's pretty confident that it's kind of Celtics or bust at this point. And I see no indication. I know there's, like, different people are saying that they're going to work out everyone else, and of course the team's going to do the due diligence. But it seems like, I don't know what player would kind of leapfrog Fultz. No, the only thing that I can see that is more likely is possibly a trade. We heard a rumor today that the Sacramento Kings are apparently in love with De'Aaron Fox and are offering the 5 and the 10. I don't think that's really in play for the Celtics, but it seems like it's Fultz or bust. And the only way I see that I'm not taking Fultz is if they trade the pick. I don't really see them taking another prospect.
I mean, I don't know. If you ask around the NBA, there are people who prefer someone else to Fultz, whether it's Lonzo Ball. I've heard some support for Lonzo around the NBA. I've heard some support for Josh Jackson around the NBA. So there are people who believe the Celtics should go in another direction. Whether they do or not, I don't think they do, and they've given no indication of that they're leaning toward anyone, and they've given every indication that they intend to explore all their options. But again, Fultz is projected in most places. If you ask around the NBA, the vast majority of people will say Fultz is the top prospect in this draft. So right now it seems like a very, very safe bet, and if it does happen in another way, it'll be really, really funny to look back at those photos with, like, him saying it just feels right on the TD Garden when he's playing for the Lakers. That would be really funny. All right, let's get to this mailbag. Before we get to the mailbag, though, this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Markelle Fultz, he doesn't have to buy us tickets, but us peasants, we need to buy tickets. Buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work, and you, the peasants, save time and money. Best of all, our listeners, get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Enter promo code LOCELTICS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCELTICS today. You could go get some tickets for next year already. I don't even know if they're selling tickets for next year, but check out the SeatGeek app. See if they are. You might be able to take in the Markelle Fultz game. You might be able to see him underneath those banners that he enjoyed for the first time Tuesday afternoon. Markelle Fultz, cap space. The Celtics have a wild offseason ahead one way or another. They should really improve their roster one way or another. They should get a lot more talent. And, I mean, obviously big dreams. We've got some questions from the listeners, a little mailbag. If any of you guys want to be in the mailbag for the future, hashtag Rain and Jays, no G, RAININJS. Tweet us. We'll look at your tweets. We'll see if you're worthy. And then we'll maybe include you on the podcast. We'll start off with a question from Kevin O'Brien, who wants to know about somebody on the current roster. We'll start off with a little bunt. We're not going to swing for the fences right away. Kevin O'Brien, at KOB, that real. The fate of the young Terry Rozier, does he have a fit in the Celtics' future?
I would say, who the hell knows? I think I, as a Celtics fan, really liked what I saw from Rozier, especially in the playoffs. I think he's continued to get better in each of his two seasons. I think his defensive abilities, he's quick, he's long. I think he still needs to work on his playmaking, but I think there's this huge question with the number of guards they have on their roster. Is he going to get playing time? It feels like he's the type of person who performs better when he knows his role, and he knows he's going to get, I guess, 15 minutes a night. And this is a guy, Rozier had a lot of DNPs towards the end of the season and seemed to play better when he had a more consistent role. So if they go ahead and draft someone like Wolf, there's going to be a number of guards ahead of him on kind of the depth chart. With that being said, he does have two more years of team control before he's a restricted free agent, whereas people like Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas all are up after next year. So it may be in the best interest to keep Terry Rozier around if you're the Celtics, just from a kind of a financial standpoint. I feel like there's other guards that are more likely to leave the team. So I think there's a fit for Rozier in the future. The only kind of drawback from him is his size. I only can really see him defending opposing team's point guards, and that so he doesn't really have the versatility that the other guards have on the roster.
Yeah, and obviously he had a nice playoffs. Like he had a really up and down season. There were times when his finishing was really bad. There were times when his shooting went bad for months at a time. There were times when his decision making wasn't there. He had a really promising playoffs, a really interesting playoffs from the standpoint of showing his potential and showing what he can do, and especially with the Celtics roster, his rebounding, as weird as it seems, considering he's a 6'2 or 6'3 guard, whatever he is, his rebounding was really important. So there will be a backcourt logjam if the Celtics pick Fultz, if they pick Ball, even if they pick, I guess, Jackson, who plays the wing as well. There will be a logjam no matter what on the perimeter. So Terry Rozier is one of the guys who you never know. But like you said, Sam, like contract situation could come into play here very much so. Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart will be up for new contracts come the end of next season. And you know, we'll see what happens with those guys. Celtics will have a lot of decisions to make. We keep harping on that every single podcast. All right, next question. I'll skip over the one about Terry Rozier's Snapchats of the strip club, even though that was something the Celtics dealt with last season. We'll go to Lucky's Pipe at Jay's Dreads 99. Who is your dark horse big man target this off season?
That's a tough one, because the free agent market is not great once you get beyond kind of the bigger names, and especially for big men, there's not really anyone kind of stands out to me as someone who I think the Celtics are going to go after, because there's a number of free agents, but a lot of them have player options, which I expect them to opt into, kind of like Pau Gasol, Greg Monroe. Then there's like restricted free agents like Nerland Noel that I just don't think the Celtics are going to go after. I think if they're not bringing back Amir Johnson or not bringing back Jonas Durebko or Kelly Olynyk, this is kind of it. On the condition that they sign Gordon Hayward, they're going to have to bring in like a mid-level guy. And I'm just looking at the names right now. There's no one really that stands out as like, man, you really want that guy on the roster. Like, Dwayne Dedman had a nice season for the Spurs, but he's not like the star. He has a player option as well, but I would expect him to opt into that. It's not a great big man market, so I don't know exactly what the Celtics his plans are if they don't bring back kind of the guys who are currently on the roster. And it's something that they're really going to have to think about if they go after someone like Hayward, because that means giving up basically the rest of their front court.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because Al Horford right now is the only Celtics rotation big guy with a guaranteed contract for next season. Now, Kelly Olynyk, the Celtics have the opportunity to match whatever contract offers he receives this summer. And they'll have options with Tyler Zeller, who has a non-guaranteed season left. But right now, Al Horford is the only guy. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the Celtics front court. If they whiff on Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin, if they go after Blake Griffin, I'm not sure they will because of his injury history and because of how much money he could be worth. That it could be a risk for a team like the Celtics. Then probably they'll go after guys like the Amir Johnson contract from two seasons ago, where they pay him a nice amount, keep the contract short so that it maintains their future flexibility while improving their roster. When you look at guys like that, I don't think Nerlens Noel fits because I don't think you can get him away from Dallas with an offer sheet. There's Mason Plumlee out there, but he's a younger guy. He might want a longer deal. Paul Millsap is an interesting one. Like, give him close to the max for like two seasons. Would that be enough? I don't know. But there are definitely some solid players out there. The front court for the Celtics, though, is going to be different. And obviously, Ante Zizic, Gershon, Yabusele, those guys could come over. I think Zizic especially seems likely to come over and play for the Celtics next season. But there are a lot of decisions for the Celtics to make. I keep saying that. But, like, their front court situation is very, very fluid. We've got poor Jake Bale, man. Jake Bale just wants Corrales to unmute him. Corrales, I don't know what Corrales took offense to, but poor Jake Bale has tweeted us a couple times that Corrales has muted him. And honestly, what kind of man mutes somebody on Twitter? Just sad. Sad that we have a co-host that will stoop to that level, honestly. Ryan Gray, 1109. Coming with the trade. Who says no? Klay Thompson for Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, Tyler Zeller if needed, and the Brooklyn 2018 pick.
I would say the Boston Celtics say no.
Yeah.
He's a great two-way guy, but that's a whole hell of a lot to give up for one player. Bradley, Crowder are two solid players. Zizic, who apparently people think would go in the top 10 this year, and the 2018 Brooklyn pick, you're taking some crazy pills, Ryan Gray.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. Klay Thompson, great, great player. Obviously one of the best shooters in the game. Obviously a great defender. What he's doing to Kyrie Irving in the first two games of the finals, fantastic. Just really bottling up Kyrie, who we saw how much trouble the Celtics had with him. But that's way too much to give up for a guy who isn't, I don't think, a number one player on a great team. Klay Thompson is great. Klay Thompson can help you win a championship. Obviously, he has one in his back pocket. He's two wins away from another. But he doesn't have the playmaking ability to be the number one guy. And as well as he would fit next to Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas, like, Klay Thompson can fit next to anyone. He's the perfect peripheral piece. That's just a lot to give up for somebody who's not under contract for a long time. I'm not sure exactly what his contract is, but I know it doesn't extend too much longer. And that's just a whole lot to give up. Too many pieces. Obviously, Klay Thompson's an intriguing guy. Obviously, if the Warriors call the Celtics about him, yes, the Celtics will perk up and listen, but that's too much. Sorry, it's
It's just too much. Let's get to the next question. Klay Thompson, that scenario is going to be interesting. Well, what happens with him? Because the Warriors are going to pay a ton and ton of money to keep the core together. And I believe he might be the first one whose contract will expire after Durant and Curry get their max deals or near max deals, whatever, this summer. So it'll be interesting to see what Golden State does over the future with the raging amounts of luxury tax that they will have. That is going to be incredibly expensive to keep that juggernaut together.
Yeah, it's something like they're going to spend $1.3 billion over the next couple of years if they keep the core four together. But I would even say the Warriors would say no to that because they're about to go 16-0 through the NBA playoffs. So I don't think they're looking to change their team whatsoever. And it just came out that Kevin Durant is going to, I guess, opt into the player option, and which will allow them to re-sign Iguodala and Livingston. So I don't think the Warriors are not exactly a motivated trading party because there's no – if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, if you have – if you're going through the best postseason ever, there's not much of an urgency to change up your roster. We've got a question from Samu at SAMU317. Can Gordon Hayward, Jay Crowder, and Jaylen Brown survive on the same team?
I would say so. I think that at least for the next season, we saw the Celtics kind of be most successful in the postseason when they went small, when they played Jay Crowder at the four and Al Horford at the five. So I think in those scenarios, you could slide Gordon Hayward right in as their starting small forward and move Jay Crowder to small or to the power forward. You definitely need some sort of rim protection, like a five, but I think that person could come off the bench. The real question is how much do you want to accelerate the minutes and the development of Jaylen Brown? It seems like he did show some things in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to stop the Celtics from trying to go after someone like Gordon Hayward, but that would be a lot of small forwards on the roster. And eventually you're going to want to be getting Jaylen Brown more minutes and just be, allow him to develop into what you think he can be, which is a very good player in the league. But I think in the short term, the Celtics would have no problem having those three guys who are all versatile in who they can defend and the positions they can play. I think that would be a Brad Stevens wet dream with just a bunch of versatile defenders.
Yeah, and when you look around the NBA, the thing that's killer right now that every team needs is big, lengthy guys who can guard multiple positions. If you can guard the three, the four, the two, then that's hugely valuable, and Hayward, Crowder, and Jaylen Brown can all do that. And so I think those guys, that's a perfect wing trio. Like, maybe not perfect because – you look over at Golden State, that's closer to perfect with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. But that, like, the way the NBA is trending, having guys that are 6'7" strong and can guard a number of guys while giving you something offensively, those guys are just hugely, hugely valuable. So I don't think there's any question that those guys can all fit on the same roster and could all thrive on the same roster. I think Gordon Hayward should have been looking at what the Celtics did with Gerald Green in their starting lineup for the first two series and thought, wow, like look at they swept the Bulls once Gerald Green was in the starting lineup. And obviously Rondo was hurt, but the way the Celtics did that with Gerald Green in their small lineup, it would look a lot better with Gordon Hayward. And when the Celtics have that much skill, it just opens things up for Isaiah. It makes things easier, and upgrading from Gerald Green in that lineup to somebody with legitimate skill and legitimate feel for defense like Gordon Hayward would just be a massive upgrade and would turn, I think, the Celtics small lineups into really, really killers. To be clear, like the Celtics still need size upgrades. They still need to get bigger. They need more rebounding. They need more physicality. But those three guys, I don't think there's any doubt they can play together. Charles Van Dam has a question, another question about possible acquisitions. He wants to know, Charles Van Zandt is really a dreamer. He wants to know, can Gordon Hayward and Jimmy Butler thrive on the same team? And that's my answer to that is kind of the same. Butler, more so than the other wings the Celtics have been linked to in rumors, whether it's Gordon Hayward, Paul George, or Butler. I think Butler kind of gives me pause because he needs the ball more than those guys. He's not as good a shooter as those guys. But also, like, he had a better season than those guys, and he was fantastic. He was a top 10 player, I think, for most of the season when you consider what he did offensively, what he did defensively for in a situation in Chicago that really wasn't built for a guy like Jimmy Butler who gets to the rim and draws free throws and needs space. He was really fantastic. So yes, those guys can thrive on the same team. But also, Butler would come with slight, like, fit questions, I think, because he's not as knocked down a shooter as those other guys.
Yeah, I mean, you put enough talent on the court, they're going to eventually figure out and the best way to play, and I don't think they would have a problem. That there's a little bit of, like, redundancy in that they're both kind of twos and threes, and they guard twos and threes, but they, like, I don't trust Butler or Hayward to guard a lot of kind of big men consistently, but I just think, like, teams can find success in this league with no matter what. I mean, with the type of talent that those two players had. I mean, we saw Brad Stevens run full point guard lineups with Al Horford. Like, eventually the kind of the position type redundancy doesn't matter, and it's just kind of talent wins out. So, yeah, bring them both on board. I think they would both work.
Yeah, absolutely. But, again, like, we've talked about this a lot. The Celtics need to keep in mind that the Warriors are out there, and the Cavaliers are still more than formidable, and that maybe trading for a guy like Jimmy Butler isn't the right play, and maybe keeping it and selecting a guy like Markelle Fultz is. One thing that's interesting is not really interesting, because I think we all knew it would be like this, but Ainge came out after meeting with Fultz today, and basically while Fultz was touring through TD Garden and taking all his pictures, Ainge was saying he's still trying to get people in for workouts. He's still going to evaluate the rest of the draft. He's still going to see all the other options he has out there, whether it's trades, other prospects. So Fultz isn't necessarily a lock. I do think he's still the front runner. Again, man, those photos will be relics if he goes to Los Angeles and he plays for the Lakers and he's standing under the banners like, man, this just feels so right.
You know what's going to be even more hilarious is when the Celtics draft Markelle Fultz and then just bring back the entire roster. There's going to be no big move this offseason. This is my hot take. This is my bold prediction. Gordon Hayward's going back to Utah. Blake Griffin's going back to the Clippers. And the Celtics are just going to be a super competitive team and add the number one pick in the draft and have no problem when they lose to the Cavs again in the Eastern Conference Finals, because I don't think they have, like, there's a real big issue with them becoming, like, I guess, like the classic trope is like the Atlanta Hawks. They always made the playoffs, so they never really did anything. But the Atlanta Hawks didn't have three top five draft picks, like, kind of training and developing in that kind of winning environment and in that winning culture. So I think the Celtics see the writing on the wall and see that, one, if you can even get past the Cavs, you have the Warriors waiting for you. So why not be a kind of perennial contender or kind of top of the East type team and allow your young stars to develop in situations where they learn winning basketball and play around better players? That's ultimately going to make them better in the future. And then hopefully as those guys mature, you'll have a chance to win championships. So that's why I just don't think there's as much motivation to come out and make the huge splash. And if they can't land a free agent, then I don't see them just trading away a bunch of assets for the sake of trading away a bunch of assets.
Yeah. Now while we're recording this, I'm just reading a story from Steve Volpett of the Boston Herald. And Ainge told Volpett that the Celtics could potentially bring Fultz back
for a second workout. I'll give Ainge's reason for that right now, and I'm quoting this from Steve Wolfett's story in the Boston Herald. Because we're limited on time with how long we can have these guys, so we may or may not bring him back again. We're still talking that through, but I still have other players to see, and I'm headed back to the West Coast to watch some more workouts. So Celtics very much at least giving off the vibe that this is a wide-open race and that Fultz isn't necessarily their guy at this stage of the evaluation process, and that they're going to at least go through all the hoops to look at everybody else and to meet with everybody else and to see what else is out there before they make their final decision.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's classic Ainge, though, is exactly what he's going to say. He's never going to come out and say, we've made a decision, we're going to draft this player. So I don't know how much to kind of take from that report, but if you had asked me what I thought Danny Ainge would have told Steve Volpett in that article, I guess that would be the exact word I would have given.
Yeah, it is pretty predictable, especially come draft time. Ainge is a cagey guy. He doesn't share much of his opinions with the media. If you remember last year, everybody was talking about how the Celtics might draft Chris Dunn or were really high on Chris Dunn. And then they picked Jaylen Brown, and it was a good pick. Like, Jaylen Brown turned into a good pick. Maybe Jamal Murray would have been better. Time will tell. But Jaylen Brown had a promising rookie season, and we learned the lesson again. The Celtics are very difficult to read come draft time. Ainge, one thing about Ainge, he has never been shy about bucking conventionalism. Like, he doesn't care what the mock draft say. He doesn't care what anybody says. If he likes a guy, he likes a guy, and that's it. We saw it with Terry Rozier. We've seen it a lot of times. Like, Ainge does not give a damn about public perception at all. He is going to do what he wants, and maybe that makes him more open to at least considering other guys that the public might be a little upset about, especially with all the love that has gone for Markelle Fultz. But we'll see. Ainge has also never been in a position with the top pick and in a draft where Markelle Fultz seems like the overwhelming favorite to go number one.
Yeah, who knows? I wouldn't be shocked if he really liked a guy to try and trade down and add more assets, just because it's Danny Ainge and he's a hoarder of assets. So if he can get another first-round pick, he's going to do it. But, I mean, at this point, we have no idea what's a smokescreen and what's not. So I'm just operating under the assumption, and I feel like the rest of Celtics Nation is operating under the assumption, that it's going to be Fultz. And it doesn't help when he releases a number of photos of him standing under the banners. And if they don't draft Markelle Fultz, I'm going to just put the blame on Chris Forsberg for tweeting out those photos. He's the one who led us down this path, led us astray.
And if they don't, I think you should make one of those your Twitter profile picture. Like Markelle Fultz standing with Larry Bird. That would be pretty funny. All right. I think that's it for this podcast. I've had enough of you. I think the listeners have had enough of me. We're glad to have you back though, man. It is very nice to have you back. You're an Ivy League graduate now.
I am an Ivy League graduate, and I am currently unemployed. So if anyone's looking for someone to give hot Celtics takes or do criminal justice research, hit me up on Twitter at SamPackardNBA.
I like the plug. Hot Celtics takes and or criminal justice research. You're Ivy League educated.
I can do both, people.
It's still kind of stunning to me that I have a podcast with an Ivy League graduate, but I do, and I also have a podcast with someone in John Corrales who mutes people on Twitter. So both you guys are very accomplished. Thank you all for listening to the show. If you're not subscribers to us, go search for us, Locked On Celtics, wherever you find podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, wherever else. Subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star rating. Send us an email if you want to advertise with us, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. We have, I think, fair rates. we'd like to get money if possible and help you out, give you a little, your business a little shine. So hit us up on Twitter, hashtag RainAJs. And that's it for this episode, the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie's.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.